All right, successfully did this once this morning. Let's see if I can do it twice, y'all. Let's pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I love that this morning has our crush display going on because I love seeing nativity scenes. And part of what I love is that they're all so different and unique. You don't usually see two that are alike. You can have a crush or nativity that's as simple as just Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus and can fit in the palm of your hand. Or like recently, I saw the picture on Facebook of my former senior pastors that finally finished putting up their main crèche display that totals over 100 pieces. Take that in for a minute. 100 pieces. And then he has like 20 others around the house. He's a little obsessed. But you can go from 3 pieces to 100 pieces, right? And they can look all different and in all sorts of different ways. But the neat thing from 3 pieces to 100 pieces is that each piece has its place and has its significance in the story. This month and this Advent season, we began in the book of Matthew with Joseph's story. As Matthew begins with the very Jewish tradition of the genealogy of Jesus and going through the father's side of his family, Joseph's calling and Joseph's commitment to follow God's call for him, no matter the cost. We looked at Joseph who stepped up to be the father of God's son. Joseph who stepped up following what the angel said, dropping everything and running to Egypt to protect that child, and then dropping everything in Egypt to run back to Nazareth to raise Jesus in the right place. We honored him as father. We honored him as faithful. We honored him for his place in the story, his precious place in the nativity scene. Well, this morning we shift from Matthew, skipping over Mark that somehow skips the nativity story, and into the book of Luke. And where does Luke focus? But Luke focuses on Mary. But to focus on Mary, where does Luke must begin? But with her cousin Elizabeth. Elizabeth, who bears and gives birth to John, known as the baptizer, the one who prepares the path and the people for Jesus' coming. But what do we see in Elizabeth? In Elizabeth, we see a story of a miracle. We see a story of where a child shouldn't have been coming to be. But before we get there, this morning, I want to do something a little bit different. Can I do something a little bit different? And I'm going to give you a heads up of exactly where we're going to go. So you ready? I love surprises. I love making you wait. But today we're going to be different. So 3 things we're going to look at today. One, we're going to see how God comes to show favor to Mary. And then we're going to see how God comes to invite her to hear, believe, and respond to the word of God. And then finally, how God will prove once again that God is the God of the impossible. So here we begin with Elizabeth as we pick the story back up. Elizabeth, who is said to be in her old age. And I noted that old age in 8 o'clock service could be anything from me at 40 years old to Miss Ruth at 94-ish years old. Somewhere within there is old age in the Bible. Somewhere in there is the age past child rearing. Elizabeth had given up. Elizabeth felt the shame of not being able to follow her call to be a mother, not able to fulfill that role of giving life to this world. And interesting enough, I opened my Bible, and some people think that I just preach without notes or anything, but my Bible tends to be full of notes. There goes one right now. And I opened in this one, unlike my one I preached from an 8 o'clock service, and here I had a note from when I preached Elizabeth and Zechariah before. And here I was struck by the statement once again that the hour of God's power is manifested at the very point of our helplessness. Elizabeth felt helpless. She felt like she was beyond that point where something was possible. And yet here God comes and says, Elizabeth, you've given up, and I haven't. It's time for you to have a child, and not just any child, but the child that will prepare the way for my son, and great he will be. And so here's Elizabeth with her surprise. Here's Zechariah that's silenced in this good news until the child is born. And the story skips over to Mary. And it says, in Elizabeth's sixth month of pregnancy, the angel comes to Mary. And what does the angel say? But first of all is, do not be afraid. The same words given to Zechariah, the same words given to Joseph, that reminds us that the presence of God within an angel is something that most people fear. It's not a welcomed or excited sight. It's one that is feared because of not knowing what is going to be happening next. And so the angel tells Mary, don't be afraid of my presence, and tells her, you are God's favored one. I don't know about you, but when I hear favored one, the first thing that comes to my mind is the favored child in the family, right? The one that is held above the others. I know where the favored children are in this room because they're smiling and going like this. And I know which ones are not the favored ones because there's not a smile on their face, right? The favored one, the one that it feels like is showered with a little extra love, that's treated a little bit better, that's seen as the golden child. It's good to be the favored one, right? It's good to be the favored employee. It's good to be the favored teacher, right? Maybe the expectations are higher, but the regard that you're treated with is a welcomed sight. I suspect that's not the favored that Mary heard when she heard these words. Why? Because the angel says, you are favored by God, and it says her immediate response is that she was troubled and wondered what this meant. What is it that God means by favored? What is it that God's wanting from me? It's the reaction I often see when I see somebody and I say, ooh, I was meaning to talk to you. Yeah, if I've ever said that to you, the immediate look has probably been, uh-oh, what is the pastor wanting me to do, right? What committee am I being asked to serve? What does she want me to speak on? What is going to happen? It's not usually excitement. Ooh, you have a job for me, right? Mary is perplexed and troubled and unsure of what is happening and what God is expecting of her. And that response is an appropriate one to happen when we see what favored means for her. Because what does favored mean for her? Being with child before she is supposed to, in a time when that could mean death for her. What does that mean? Potentially facing shame and being outcast, potentially being divorced by Joseph. What do we see? Favored means having to trek to Bethlehem to have her child in a stable. What does favored mean for her? To then have to flee for the life of that child, running to Egypt, afraid that Herod might get his hands on her precious baby boy. What does that mean? A lifetime of following his ministry, seeing him scorned and mocked, seeing him having to run out of town for his life because of people who are threatened by him. What does favor mean? Favor means being the mother, sitting at the foot of the cross, watching her son suffer and die on a cross. I don't know about you, but that favored seems like an awfully rough road to travel. But here's Mary that's asked to do that. And the angel tells her all of this, and you will be favored, and you get to bear the Son of God. But What does he say? But you who are favored, the Lord is with you. I'm here to tell you that each of you have those same words from God, that God has called you God's favored. And favored can mean a rough road. Favored can mean some challenges that you wished you never had to face. Favored can mean heartache and heartbreak. Favored can mean troubles and trials that seem too big for you to face. It can mean days where you look at God and say, God, I am not strong enough to take what you have given me. But you, favored one, have the same promise as Mary, where God says the road will not always be easy, but I will always be with you. I will never leave your side. I will never abandon you, but I will get you through each rough patch, and we will see the other side together. God was with Mary through that pregnancy. God was with Mary in the stable. God was with Mary in Egypt. God was with Mary following Jesus through all his ministries. God was with Mary at the foot of the cross. God was with Mary at the empty tomb and all the days and years that came after. And that promise is no less for you. No matter what you are facing, realize you are God's favored one, and that God is with you, just like Mary. But favored one also means that we have the beautiful song of Mary, where Mary said that she was blessed. That she was blessed by God with this task that she was taking on. Let's see what that is to be blessed. Because so many would often think that the blessing means that she got to bear and birth the Son of God, but it's even deeper and richer and more meaningful than that. And if we want to see what it is, we actually have to fast forward in Luke all the way to the 11th chapter. And here Jesus is going and doing his preaching and he's doing his teaching. And in Luke chapter 11, verses 27 and 28, as he's doing his preaching out of the crowd, a woman shouts, "Blessed is the woman who gave you birth and nursed you." Have you ever read this passage before? Hear this woman shouting that Mary is blessed for being Jesus' mom, for giving birth and life to him. And a good son would say, yes, I love my mother. She is the best among all others, right? But Jesus surprises us. And his response is not a direct praise of Mary's rearing of him, but he says, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Who is it that is blessed? Not those that have birthed and raised, but those who have heard the word and obeyed it. When we look back at Mary's story, once she's gotten through her troubling perplexity and her wondering and her questioning and her asking the angel for more information, we fast forward to the end, and what does Mary say? But she looks at the angel and says, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. The prologue of John is not a nativity or birth story. But the prologue of John tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Tells us that Jesus is the Word of God born into flesh. And what do we see with this passage? But we see that Mary was invited to grow the word of God in her, to give it life and to give it to the world. She heard the word of God through the angel. She believed it, and she obeyed it with humble faithfulness. She gifted the world the word of God. My friends, how are we to be blessed? By to accept the word of God into us, to grow it in us, and to gift it to the world through the life that we live and through the witness that we show. The word of God in the Bible is not called the stagnant word of God. It's not the once written, twice read, but it is called the living word of God. And why is it the living word of God? Because it is inside each one of us, growing organically and living through us, just like it did with Mary. Mary sings this song of being blessed by God, and that generations after her will be blessed. And this is the same song that we are invited to sing as we go into this Christmas week. That we, just like Mary, are able to hear the word of God calling us as favored ones, invited to believe it, to accept it, to obey it, and to have humble faithfulness to allow it to grow in us and to burst forth from us. For us to realize that the living word is in us, and with the living word is the living God who will be with us, manifested in us, and able to be seen by the world. To be blessed knowing that we have an active God and not a watchful God. That we have that God that is with us always, miraculously performing works around us, whether we see it or not. And that is our invitation, to bear that word, to read it, to pray it, to sing it, to seek to understand it, so that we can be it. That's the Christmas story. It's not about the birth of a physical child. It is about the birth of God's word that changed this world. Is that a job that you can take? Is that an honor that you can accept? It is a privilege that you are offered. But it goes deeper than that. I told you I had a third point, to see that God is the God of the impossible, right? We have human eyes and human brains, and we know that there's limitations to everything. There's a black and white. This is what's possible. This is what's not possible. And there's a line in between. And God laughs. God laughed when Elizabeth said she was too old to have a child. And God said, I make the impossible possible. Here's your son. Mary was told that she would have the Son of God. And she laughed and said, that's not possible. How can that happen when I am still a virgin? And the angel answered, even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, the impossible made possible. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. And here, verse 37, for no word from God will ever fail. The translation that Bob read said, nothing with God is impossible. So the word of God is in you just like it was in Mary. And here it says, the word of God will not fail. Our God is God of promises. And our God does not break those promises. What seems impossible to us is possible with God, proven through Mary, proven through Elizabeth, proven over and over again in the Bible, right to the empty tomb and through the rest of the story. My God, your God, Mary's God, is a God that will move mountains for you, is a God that will do anything for you and will not fail. So here we go into this Christmas week. Here we go as we look at Mary and those nativity scenes and all of the images. And what we're challenged to see is our reflection in her. And to see with her this week how we are God's favored ones. That there might be a rough road, but as God's favored ones, that God will be there through it every step of the way with us. That we are God's blessed to bear God's word and to be invited to give it life and to share it with this world. And to go into this week to think about what we see as impossible that we can put into God's hands and see how his word will not fail us. And to see how he makes possible the impossible right into that manger and into our lives. May this Christmas be a Christmas of miracles because of our humble faithfulness and our obedience to the word. Will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks for Mary, the mother of Jesus, for an incredibly strong woman who had such a faith that she was able to step up to the challenge of being the mother of the Son of God, no matter the risks that it would cost her. We ask that you help us to receive strength from her, that we can look at her and know what's possible for us and for our lives, that we can look at her and to know the gift that resides in us, the gift of the living word, the gift of the word that will not fail, but goes above the impossible to make life possible. May we walk into this week with our eyes and our hearts open, ready to see your miracle and ready to be miracle makers in what you do in us. For all this we pray in your most holy and awestruck name. Amen.